So welcome back to Sandown for our youth service tonight. We have some members of our Bible classes taking part. They are reciting various items, and there will be a few musical items as well. We also have our Bible class teachers reading passages of Scripture for us. Also, Lindsay will be bringing us the second part in the life story of C.T. Studd. And then Adam will be bringing us a word from God. But we start off tonight with Joanna McCammon from Tandragee, and she's singing for us a lovely piece entitled My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 verses 1 to 7, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
Scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to 19. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
On the 10th of December 2019, 24 cases of a pneumonia-type disease were reported by the Chinese government scientists. Most of the cases were traceable to the human seafood wholesale market in Wuhan, a city of some 11 million people in China. Subsequently, the illness was defined as coronavirus, with the disease being given the scientific designation of COVID-19.
Since the initial discovery in the physical realm, the virus has displayed characteristics of being very transmissible and difficult to detect. And it is an unseen enemy. Ultimately, it presents a distant danger to all people. Similarly, in the spiritual realm, Satan is the unseen enemy, moving with stealth and subtlety, awaiting to pounce upon the unexpected, bringing them deeper into sin. Every Christian is engaged in a relentless spiritual battle against Satan. The taskmaster of sin in 1 Peter 5:8, the Christian is warned to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is a formidable enemy, desiring to devour those who foolishly engage with him. Ephesians 6:11-12 reminds us of the disturbing, deceitful characteristics of the unseen enemy. We are confronted with the distant danger of the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Seize the mind, when contracted COVID-19, have mercy upon every host, the very universe.
There's no respecter of class, nationality, geographical boundaries, age and gender, nor fitness level. It has now infected at least 5 million people worldwide and has been the primary cause of several hundred thousand deaths. Amazingly, this pandemic originated with one initial cross-species transmission in Parma and Wuhan.
The origin of our crowns. The Bible is most assertive the spiritual disease of sin. In Genesis 3, we read it afore man. Eve gave in to the tantalizing temptation presented before her by the devil in the form of a serpent. She foolishly engaged with the devil rather than submitting herself to the command of God. James chapter 4, verse 7 states, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." She also implicated Adam, who did not exercise the protective and responsible leadership of her husband.
The onerous outcome. Adam and Eve become conscious of their new sinful condition, and this event is recollected by Paul in Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By the action of one, the disease of sin spread to all mankind. Romans 3, verse 23 states, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God detailed to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 verse 16 the cruel consequences of their disobedience, indicating the hardship that they had imposed upon all future generations. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Disruption and death. Coronavirus has disrupted the normal way of life in most parts of the world, bringing death in more than 180 countries. To counter the coronavirus pandemic, many restrictions have been put in place, curtailing social behaviours, public worship, travel patterns and work, educational practices, and bringing many national economies into a state of depression. The world as we knew it in February 2020 is no longer, and peoples of the world are having to adjust to the hardships of a new norm. All this turmoil has been brought by a virus, a physical enemy, never announcing its presence and not visible to the naked eye.
In a similar fashion spiritually, as a result of the original sin, Adam and Eve were subjected to severe disruption for their willful disobedience. They were forcefully banished from the paradise of Eden and received the imposition of toil and death. They were no match against the wiles and subtlety of the devil. They had become the prey of a roaring lion, resulting in hardship for all future generations. Genesis chapter 3 verse 17 to 19 states, And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to it ye shall return.
Defense deployed. Coronavirus needs a cure, or else if a proceed in check, becomes uncontrollable and augments an already high death rate.
Scientists worldwide are working tirelessly in the battle for a cure to the COVID-19 disease. While a cure is being sought after, interim measures and regulations are being imposed by governments in order to reduce the risk of the disease. These include self-isolation, shielding, social distancing and increased personal cleansing. Also, depending upon workplace location, PPE has been recommended to enable those workers who are possibly exposed to the virus to be defended and shielded from it. The Apostle Paul was acutely aware of the impact of the sin disease and of the devious devices of the devil. He also recommended a comprehensive list of spiritual PPE, or indeed armour, for the Christian to wear for protection when battling sin and Satan. Key items listed by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 include the Christian to stand in the evil day, included, loins girded about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always.
Deliverance determined. With the pandemic in full flight across the world, nobody is immune from its lethal power. Vigilance is continuously required by all to suppress the virus. However, scientists are declaring that the only 100% proof cure for the world population is to develop a vaccine. However, the vaccine will have to be accepted and administered for each person to be certain that they have been delivered from the frequently fatal impact of coronavirus. Currently in the world, in relation to coronavirus, there are only two categories of people, those who are infected with the virus and those who are not. In the same way, spiritually speaking, there are two categories. All mankind has inherited natural sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve. The scriptures confirm that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are those whose sin has been covered by the blood of the Lamb, by virtue of them accepting the gift of everlasting life by receiving Christ as their personal Saviour. However, some have spurned Christ and have rejected the free gift of salvation.
Listener, which category are you in? Are you covered by the blood? We have read in Genesis 3 verse 21, that Adam and Eve's sin was covered by a blood sacrifice from the Lord. Christ shed his precious blood at Calvary for those who would call upon his name, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Christ's blood is the only 100% cure for the disease of sin. Simply come to the Saviour as you are. James 4 verse 8 states, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinner. Sinner, be cleansed from the virus of sin in your life. Not only is the God who we worship a God of righteous judgment, but he is also a forgiving God. Peter describes our God as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Please, do not harden your heart, yet yield your heart, repent of sin, accept Christ as Saviour, and be assured of having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
Everyone, and thank you for joining us for our second part of our missionary story about the life of Charles Studd. This morning, whenever we finished off, Charles had just arrived in China and he had married his wife Priscilla. Well, eventually Charles learned the Chinese language and was able to tell the Chinese people about God, and he saw lots of people get saved. There was one man in particular called Mr. Fan, and Mr. Fan was a murderer. He had killed a man. And after hearing Charles speak, he had got saved and his life had changed. Mr. Fan wanted to go to the town where he had committed his crime and tell the people what God had done in his life. And whenever he arrived, word spread that he was there, and large crowds of people came to hear him speak. Soon word got back to the town leader that Mr. Pham was there and that he was preaching about God. And the town leader ordered a group of men to go and beat Mr. Pham with large sticks. And you know, he didn't order that he would be beaten because he had been a murderer. He did it because he didn't want Mr. Pham to preach to the people. And they beat him so hard that they left him for dead. But you know, Mr. Pham eventually recovered and he didn't let it stop him. As soon as he was strong enough, he went to the town where he had been born and told the people there about Jesus. And again, word soon got back to the town leader that Mr. Pham was preaching and he had him thrown into prison. But Mr. Pham didn't let that stop him. And he would have stood at the window in his cell and spoke down to the people in the street and preached to them. Eventually such large crowds were gathering, the town leader gave up and allowed Mr. Pham to be released from jail. After a while, Charles and Priscilla decided to go to a part of China that no missionary had ever been to before. Whenever they arrived there, the people didn't want them there, and there was a drought in that area, and the people blamed the drought on Charles and Priscilla being there. A drought is when there's no rain and the crops can't grow and then there's no food for the people. With a lot of prayer, eventually the hearts of the people were softened and they accepted Charles and Priscilla. Charles and Priscilla then felt that they were led to open a centre in China for people that were addicted to a drug called opium. And opium was a massive problem in China. It caused people to not be able to work and they would have spent all the money they had to buy the drug. Charles and Priscilla opened this centre and for 7 years there was 800 men and women came to stay and they helped them to recover from taking the drug. Many of those men and women also were saved. It was not an easy work to do and when people were trying to stop taking the drug they would have been violent and would have had nightmares. Missionary life wasn't easy. Charles and Priscilla had 4 little girls and 1 little boy who died at childbirth. They also wouldn't have had good health and they would have often struggled to have any money or any food. After a while, Charles and Priscilla felt that they were being called to return to England. This wasn't easy for them as they had made so many friends in China and they had to leave behind the people that had got saved. They began the long journey back to England with 4 young daughters. Whenever they got back to England, Charles and Priscilla stayed with Charles' mum and his mother helped them with looking after the daughters. During this time, Charles and Priscilla were able to rest and try and get strong again after their time in China. Charles eventually got better after all the diseases that he had had, but Priscilla never fully recovered from her time in China and she was housebound most of the rest of her life. Charles was invited to America by a group of students and they started the student volunteer movement. And this movement was to try and get students throughout America to be willing to give up their life to be missionaries. And for 18 months, Charles had to leave behind his family in England and he spoke to thousands of students and many of them gave their lives to Christ and were willing to go to be missionaries. Charles was then called to a church in India to be a minister. The church was an English-speaking church and most of the congregation was made up of soldiers from the British Army. There was one man that attended the church and he was an officer in the army and he became a Christian. This officer had a little Indian servant boy that worked for him and whenever he became a Christian, the little boy noticed such a change in his master that he would have asked people, "What has happened to my master that he has changed? I wonder if you become a Christian, has your life changed and the people see a difference in the way you live?" Again, after another while, the Studd family returned to England. Charles was out one day whenever he saw a poster in a window. It was advertising a meeting about the country of Africa. There was a slogan on the poster that said, "Cannibals want missionaries," and that's what really got Charles' attention. Charles decided to go along to the meeting, and there was a Christian man speaking, and he told the people about the country of Africa and how there were tribes that had never been reached by the gospel and people had never even gone and told them about God. As Charles sat there and listened to the man speak, he wondered to himself, why has no one gone to tell these people about God? Straight away he felt God speak to him and say, "Why don't you go?" Charles thought to himself, "I'm 50 years old, I don't have good health." And again, straight away, he was spoken to. I am the God who heals. Don't you trust me? I will go with you and keep you. Charles knew that God wanted him to go to Africa, and so he decided that he would go and start the work, and eventually younger men would come along and keep that work going. In December 1910, Charles started his journey to Africa. He had to leave behind his wife and children, and it was a long journey. When he got there, there was a man called Alfred Buxton who joined him, and the two of them set off through a part of Africa called the Congo. This is where the largest population of people were that had never been reached. It took them 9 long months through a jungle where there was dangerous animals, there was diseases. They passed through tribes that didn't speak their language, and they passed through tribes that were cannibals. But God helped them and got them there safely. During the time there, God kept them safe. There was one particular morning that Charles was eating his breakfast, and two of the African men that was helping came running to him and said, "There's a snake in your bed." The snake that was in Charles's bed was a thin green snake that if it had bitten Charles, he would have died straight away. Charles knew that the snake had been there all night and that God had protected him throughout the night. Charles stayed in Africa, and eventually his two daughters and their husbands also came along, and God really blessed the work. There were thieves, murderers, cannibals, and many other people that became Christians, and those that were converted then decided to go to other parts of Africa that had not heard and speak and tell people about God. Priscilla was never able to join her husband in Africa, and she stayed behind in England, and there she would have written letters to people asking for prayer and would have held prayer meetings. As Charles got older, he began to translate parts of the Bible to the language of the African people. Churches were planted and many were saved. He then set up WC International, which is an organisation to send missionaries to parts of the world that have never heard the gospel. That organisation is still around today, and there's 1,700 workers throughout the world in 76 countries. Eventually Priscilla died, and 2 years later Charles died as well. Charles was buried in the heart of Africa, and he had given his life and his all to serving God. I wonder if you're a Christian, will you today pray to God and promise him your life that you'll be willing to go and do whatever he wants you to do? If you're not a Christian, we would love if you got saved. We would love if you realise that you need to become a Christian and that you need to pray to God and ask him to forgive you for your sins. I hope that you have enjoyed the story of Charles Studd. I have told it very quickly, and if you want to learn more, look it up online or order a book and you can learn all about the amazing things that Charles did in his life. Thank you again for joining us today. Oh,
His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood 'neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, you every Lord. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, you every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy.
We're turning tonight in the Word of God to the book of Titus. We're turning to Paul's epistle to Titus. We're going to read the first 7 verses from the chapter 3 of this book, Titus chapter 3. And the first 7 verses together we're going to read. Let's take time to hear the Word of God. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. And it would be our prayer that God would even add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's at this stage just bow together in a word of prayer as we come to God's message tonight. Our dear Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for each and everything that has taken place already in this meeting tonight. Lord, we thank thee for the hymns and the choruses that have been sang. Lord, we thank thee for the youth and the message that has even been brought tonight. Lord, we thank thee for health and strength of each of the young people, and Lord, even for the help given in the reading of thy word, and Lord, even for even the instrumentals. Lord, we pray that everything would be used for thy glory. Lord, even as we come to the reading of thy word, Lord, even as we come to this message tonight, Lord, we pray that everything that would be of man may fall to the ground, and everything that may be of Christ may be high and lifted up. Lord, speak to hearts. Lord, give each listener that ear to hear the word of God. Lord, help us, we pray, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, throughout the past few months of lockdown caused by the rise and the threat of the coronavirus, there have been many changes that have occurred within our own lives and our own land. And many perhaps have probably seen the advertisements that are now being put on television and in the media in order to educate the population in how to best safeguard against the rise of COVID-19. Now, I'm sure many are aware of the slogan tonight used by the government that says, "Stay alert, control the virus and save lives." See, it seems that there's a great importance at this time being placed on our own personal hygiene, with the government now stating that we need to spend at least 20 seconds when we wash our hands. And whilst we know that it is essential that we follow these rules and regulations, in a far greater sense, there is action that needs to be taken in each and every one of our lives. You see, far greater than the infection or the disease of coronavirus, there is a disease of sin that we are all born with. And sin does not discriminate. It is not bias. Sin affects all people, disregarding our gender, disregarding our age, disregarding our nationality. You see, sin affects us all. And we have read from the book of Titus together this evening. And I believe that by way of introduction, it would be important to consider some contextual remarks about this book. You see, this was an epistle by Paul written to Titus. And Titus was one of Paul's companions during the plantation and the setting up of new churches. And the main theme of the book of Titus is the importance of sound doctrine and correct Christian living. You see, this epistle was used and written in order to instruct and to guide Titus in his role of tendering to the churches, mainly in Crete. Therefore, although this book is specifically aimed at Titus, it is included in the Word of God, and there are many vital lessons that we can learn from this small in length, yet very significant piece of Scripture. And as we consider the three verses together, verses 3, 4 and 5 in particular, I want us to consider the message that I've simply entitled, A Crucial Cleansing. Notice very simply tonight that in verse 3, first of all, there is our sinfulness. Let's read again the verse 3 together. And it says, For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And here the Apostle Paul is painting a very dark yet an honest picture of our sinful condition from birth. Let's take time tonight even to go through some of these words and learn how the Word of God truly sees us in our sinful nature. Notice first of all tonight that we are foolish. We are called fools. In other words, those people who lack understanding. And this relates to how we have missed the mark and remain blinded and strangers to God's gift of salvation. You see, when I was studying this verse, this description of us being foolish immediately drew my heart to consider the words found in Psalm 14 and the first one. It tells us, The fool hath said in his heart, There is no God. Therefore, the Word of God is telling us that all people who reject Christ and deny the fact that they need Christ as their own and personal Saviour are fools. They are rejecting the only way that is able to save them and make them ready for heaven. We are foolish by nature. But not only are we foolish, but see, second of all, that the verse goes on to tell us that we are deceived. We are deceived. Now, the idea of being deceived means to be given ill counsel or to be misled down the wrong path. And we all know that the master of deception is the devil himself. Think of even the words that the youth read tonight from Genesis chapter 3 and the verse number 1. And that tells us that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. You see, it was the deception, it was the cunning nature of Satan that caused our first parents, Adam and Eve, to fall in the garden. And as a result, sin entered and passed on to all generations. You see, do not be fooled tonight, dear listener. The devil is a fierce foe. He is crafty and he is cunning. And it is his desire that you would be ensnared and you would be trapped in his grasp tonight. See, tonight you're either in the fearful grasp of Satan or you're in the tender hand of a loving God. See, there's no middle ground in this matter. And it would be my prayer tonight that even as this message is sounded forth, that those who are unsaved would stop running away from God, but would instead flee to him and surrender their lives to him in salvation. We are deceived. We are foolish. This verse also tells us that we are serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Now, this phrase simply means that men and women are doing what is seen to be right in their own eyes. They are simply living for the moment and have no thought for the future. And how relevant and up-to-date the Word of God really is. And for many of our young people today, especially, there are many pressures and there are many trials that we will face when we grow up. And I am all too familiar with this myself, and as are all the other young people. But you see, it is essential that we realise that in and of ourselves we are weak, In and of ourselves, we cannot stand against the devil. We need God to be the captain of our lives, being the one to lead us safely to the shore. Is God the captain of your life tonight? Is Christ your saviour? What are you depending on to get by in this life? We are serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Notice fourthly, and finally in the verse number 3, that we live in malice and envy. See, there is no peace and there is no love within the heart of the unbeliever. Instead, all of our emotions for the one who is without Christ are masked in hate and bitterness. See, we can echo the words of the Apostle Paul tonight when he wrote in Romans, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Dear believer tonight, see how you stand before God. You see, there is nothing good in you, and there is nothing good in me. We are all born in sinner as sinners. Yet thank God and give thanks to him that he opened up a way that we can be reconciled unto God. So that is the sinfulness that we read in verse number 3. But continue on and see, secondly tonight, that in verse number 4, there is the sacrifice. You see, now in verse number 4, we are brought to consider the crux of the entire gospel message. The hope in the midst of all hopelessness. And the verse number 4 simply says, "But after that, after the sin of man, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared." You see, this verse causes us to now think upon the second person in the divine Godhead, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly, he is the greatest manifestation of the love of God. See, the Saviour came into this world to die on the old rugged cross on our behalf. And very simply tonight, let's consider 3 aspects about Christ's crucifixion. See, first of all, that it was a substitutionary death. You see, the great chapter of Isaiah 53 demonstrates this idea by stating in verse number 6 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, speaking of Christ, the iniquity of us all. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, Christ faced the death and the punishment that we should have faced. Consider the scoffing and the mocking that Christ had to endure. That should have been us. Consider the nails that were plunged into his hands and into his feet. Those nails should have pierced our skin. Consider the crown of thorns that was platted upon his head. That crown of thorns should have dug into our very own heads. You see, Christ endured all of the pain on our behalf. He was our substitute. Just as we read of Abraham and Isaac, the ram was provided as a substitute, foreshadowing Christ. And Christ came and he died in your place. Surely tonight we can say, he took my place and died for me. It was a substitutionary death. See, second of all, that it was a satisfactory death. You see, Christ accomplished the task that was set before him. His sacrifice on the cross appeased the wrath of God and satisfied the Father. Once again, in Isaiah 53, we read a phrase in verse number 10 that is beyond our finite comprehension. When the prophet pens the words, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." And whilst we can never fully understand these words, we know tonight with great assurance that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was sufficient. You see, it satisfied the demands of God, and it therefore makes the crosswork of Christ able to provide full atonement for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Let me ask you a question this evening. What does the cross mean to you? What does Christ's sacrifice at Calvary mean to you? Have you accepted Christ as your Saviour? Do you stand before God with your wrath appeased? Do you stand in Christ redeemed? Or tonight are you still in your sin? See, the Bible tells us that those who are unsaved are condemned already. See the great danger that you're in tonight, unbeliever. and in doing so turn to Christ and be saved. He is the one that is willing to save those who will come unto him. All you have to do is come to Christ as you are, and he will in no wise cast you out. It was a satisfactory death. It was a substitutionary death. Thirdly, notice that it was a singular death. It was a singular death in the fact that it was a once and for all sacrifice. See, now there are no need for no more sacrifices, as Christ has accomplished the way that we can be reconciled to God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and the first 10 we read that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. You see, tonight the work has been accomplished, and that is clearly seen in the resurrection of Christ on the third day. See, praise God tonight that we do not serve a Saviour who is depicted as weak and helpless remaining on the cross. But thank God tonight we serve a Saviour that is risen, one that is exalted on high, and one that is making intercession for us at the Father's right hand. See tonight that Christ is all that you need. The world will offer you things to satisfy you, but the Bible tells us that it satisfies but for a season. See tonight that Christ completely satisfies for all moments of life and meets our every need at all times. Turn to him. Finally, notice tonight that in verse number 5, there is salvation. In verse number 5, we read, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." See, this great verse now draws our attention to the life-altering and the life-changing transformation that happens in the life of a saved individual. Now, this verse talks about the mercy of God. It says, according to his mercy, he saved us. You see, salvation is not brought about by anything we have done, but it's all that Christ has done for us. There is nothing in us that is able to merit God's salvation. See, there was nothing good in us. There was nothing desirable in us for God to love us. As we considered in the verse number 3, we were deceived. We were living in malice and envy, hating one another. There was nothing good in us. Yet God loved us. He loved us so much that in mercy, he withheld the punishment from us. And in grace, he sent his Son to provide a way that we can be brought back into that right relationship with him. Notice the verb of washing in the first number 5, the washing of regeneration. This is the crucial cleansing that we all need to experience tonight within our lives. You see, not merely just a physical washing of our hands with water is enough to cleanse us from sin. Only the washing of our hearts by the precious blood of Christ is enough to atone us and to redeem us. The children's chorus reminds us of this truth. And it says, "What can wash away my sin?" And it simply answers, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Let me ask you one more question tonight. The most important question that you will ever be asked in your whole life. What have you done with Christ? In closing, look back at the verse number 4 in Titus chapter 3. And Paul writes, "Our Saviour." Our Saviour. You see, here in this verse, Paul is claiming Christ as his own and his personal Saviour, the Lord of his life. Can you say such a thing? Don't delay in this matter tonight. Come to Christ and be saved. Be washed in his precious blood. You see, many are following governmental advice tonight. Many are shielding indoors, and many are washing their hands according to the government guidelines, as they should. But yet how few listen and obey the commands of God. You see tonight that this is the greatest preparation that you need to make. The Bible tells us, prepare to meet thy God. Can you call him your Saviour? I thank God personally that at the age of 7, on a bus journey home after a children's meeting, that God saved me, that I can call him my Saviour. Dear listener, can you call him your Saviour tonight? It would be my prayer that even if you aren't saved, that tonight would be the day of your conversion. There is no greater experience that you can have in this world. And as we close tonight, let me just make it known that if you want to speak with us, if you have a concern for your soul, please get in contact, message the Facebook page, and the Reverend Wilson will happily take time to talk with you. But make sure tonight that above all, that Christ is the Lord and the King of your life. Let's just close in another word of prayer, please. Our dear Lord and our Heavenly Father, we'd even pray tonight, Lord, even as the word of God has now been presented, Lord, that you'd be pleased to bless thy word. Lord, we pray that it would fall on good ground. Lord, that hearts may be planted with that seed of the gospel. And Lord, that seed would germinate, that seed would grow, and that souls would be saved tonight. Oh Lord, we pray that you would even crown this day with salvation. Lord, bless us, do us good. Continue on with us, we pray, for thy glory and the extension of thy kingdom. We pray all of these things. Amen.
So let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for help given to all who have taken part tonight. Bless our young people, we pray. We ask, O God, that even in these days of uncertainty regarding their future, Lord, that you would lead them, guide them, and direct them, O God, to the very place that you'd have them to be. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to each one tonight who've listened. We pray, Lord, that they will, Lord, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have their sins washed in the blood of the Lamb. Bless all today who have listened to all of these broadcasts. May thy word, O God, be used to the glory and to the honour of thy great name. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. So thank you for being with us again tonight. And thank you to all who have taken part in these special services, both this morning and again this evening. If you do ever want to make contact with us, please feel free to make contact with us at any time if you have any concerns concerning your soul's salvation. In the meantime, the Lord bless you, the Lord be with you, until we meet again, may the Lord keep his hand upon you all. God bless you all.